This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM as we welcome you in. We close out 17, that is the week of, with Buffalo-Cincinnati. Potentially the game of the year as we say, good morning, good afternoon. He's Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. Again, this is the Lombardi Line. We're going to get to the playoff scenarios, but as I say hi to Michael, can we start with a conversation we were just having? And I think it's very important for bettors. And what you were discussing was the power of suggestion. In a situation where bettors are overly inundated with information, what you can do is take your gut and your cap, and then you run it into all the other information. You spit it in the computer that is public opinion. And on the other side, you find yourself conflicted. As we say hi, maybe you could expound upon that a little bit for bettors.
Well, we were talking about the Russo contest and how I was going back and forth. And I looked at my board this morning, and, you know, I don't play Jacksonville. For whatever reason, I don't play Jacksonville. I've got Jacksonville at 9.57, should be a favorite in the game. And I convinced myself through an assumption that I don't believe Peterson, even though he said he's going to play his guys, I don't believe him. Right? So I assume something that's not true. Then I have Detroit at 11.3. This is all documented. And Detroit's, you know, laying five. It went down to 5.5. I don't play that because I think, well, Chicago, you know, you start, all of a sudden, you start overthinking it. And I think that's where Vinny is so good because what when Vinny says pros play numbers,
yes,
what he's really saying is they don't try to overthink it. And I've made mistakes overthinking it. Like I had the Raiders at a 7.7 dog to the 49ers. That's the, you're getting 9.5, right? I had the Chargers at 8.56 should be favored against the Rams, and I take the Rams at 6.5. So if I just play my numbers, I would have lost Philly. I would have and I would have won 4. So my point here is you when you start analyzing it and overthinking it, as bettors, we just make too many. I make too many mistakes, and you know, oh well, you know, Detroit's gonna, you know, and all of it's bull, all of it's crap.
It's crowdsourcing, and by the way, it's only going to become more inundated because more people are getting into the gambling space. You know, social media continues. You always see gambling Twitter, you know, trending on Twitter. So it's only going to become more and more. And we were talking before the show, we've been doing it for years now, but the first year, I think you hit close to what you had 70% in the NFL that first year that we worked together.
And I didn't overthink it. I just played the
numbers.
That's
what I'm saying.
I think next, and I think from, you know, now playoffs are different because the teams are kind of the margins. We won't see some of these wiggle rooms that we saw, right? You know, we won't see that. And so I think to me, you just have to be. And the other thing I did, and when you go away from your game codes, right? Like the Chargers had dominated the game codes to the Rams. Not only did they have the wiggle, they had the game codes. And I go ahead and take the Rams.
Well, you went against like, your
I'm
number,
an idiot.
Though. You,
no, I know.
You do
but
that.
The game
when you
codes
go against
are important,
your number.
The game codes are so important, too, because you're comparing team to team, right? You're breaking it down.
Yes.
And, like, you know, when you do that, like, you know, like Pittsburgh-Baltimore, their game codes are really close, right? And that game was, you know, was right there. 2.5, and I just felt like watching the tape, Pittsburgh was the – I still think Pittsburgh's the better team, and they won. Now, you say, well, they got lucky to cover on the last play to go to the set, you know, but the reality of it is you have to get the – kind of get it in there with the tape. But for me, I think ultimately for me, you just have to – when he says – when Vinny says pro plays numbers, I think you have to be really serious about your number. And if you're going against your number, you're probably not going to be right. I mean, like the game that blew me away, I mean, Arizona-Atlanta. Like, here it is, Atlanta. They're 3.5-point favorites when Colt McCoy's going to play, right? And Mike Somich on our show said he loved Arizona. And I had the number in that game at 3.31. The number went all the way up to 6.5 on Sunday because David Blau and the Magic Show is going to play. And they barely covered.
By the way, Atlanta, closed 7 at Circa, closed 7 at DraftKings. The Atlanta Falcons, laying 7 against, I don't care if it's David Blau, I don't care if it's David Blaine. They shouldn't be laying seven against anywhere. That's where the pros, though, they take that number. The pros are waiting for, they'll take the 6.5, but then they'll double down on that 7. And so that's where, that's what Vinny talks about, taking the emotion away from the betting, taking the emotion away from social media, Michael, and just go with the numbers and bet numbers. Don't bet teams. Don't worry about that.
I'll give you another one. So the Jets-Seattle, I have that as a one-point game. I have the Jets' power ranking and Seattle's power ranking fairly similar if you look on them on when I report on Friday. And Seattle's getting 2.5 or 2, and I go with the Jets because I had a feel – and Mike White gave me a feel right in the butt. You know, he gave me a feel right in the butt. And, oh, by the way, can we have an honest discussion here? The Jets' defense isn't as good as everybody thinks it is. If you look at the Jets' defense, and I said this on the podcast, the Jets' defense has only created 2 turnovers in the last 7 weeks. And they've only had one team not rush for 100 yards, and that was New England, who ran for 99. So, like, I was counting on something that didn't exist, that the Jets defense was going to be able, and the Jets offense couldn't move the ball on a bad Seattle defense. Think about that.
So, kind of a weird start to the show, but it was an interesting conversation before we started, because Michael, you keep up, you say this after the first year, you've said it every year, and what Michael's talking about, he has 18, it's 18 points, right? Where you compare
19.
And you start ranking
19.
These teams. You 19, you then plug those in and you get your number. That's what the Lombardi line is, and that's when we juxtapose it to the market. When you go against your number and you lose, that is counterintuitive to everything that this is supposed to be about. Like, you go, you put all that work into handicapping, and then you go against your number, and if it loses, what are you doing? What are we here for?
A lot of people were on the Colts, right? I had the Colts. They should have been 6.36 dogs. The game codes weren't even close. Right now, Russo took the Giants. I wasn't going to take the Colts. So, but my point is that's another one. You know, you're sitting right there, and you just got, sometimes you just can't over. I think what we all do is because this happens in the draft. You get so much information. You get so much information that you tend to paralyze yourself by all that information. And you have to finally come back to it. It's almost like, not saying spend less time, but don't overdo it, right? Don't overdo it. Cleveland, for example, I had Cleveland at 0.52. That was a push game. Cleveland was getting 2. The game codes were dead even.
Analysis paralysis, as they call it, and also the power of suggestion, where you know, it's like you said, Felique has been having a great year. He's going to win the Circa Invitational. You crowdsourced his plays, and those plays influenced you, and it took you away from your number. And you're not blaming Felique, and Felique is killing
it. No, it's my fault for asking.
Asking. Stick to your numbers.
And that's what happened. And that's what happens. And you got to have the power of your conviction.
Okay. So,
anyway,
again, interesting start. Just a philosophical conversation about betting and staying away from the power of suggestion. Sometimes social media can take you off what is the right play. So let's start, and I'll give you the playoff scenarios for every teams and all the teams we discussed today. Let's start with Pittsburgh. That's one you hit yesterday. You were actually on Pittsburgh all week. You like Pittsburgh in this one. Baltimore ends up closing, so there was some steam on Pittsburgh. Baltimore closes 1. Let's just put it this way. Baltimore can still win the North. If Cincy loses tonight to the Bills, and then Baltimore beats Cincy in Week 18, they can win the North, but here's the problem. Baltimore can't throw the football. This is not Mike Martz's offense on turf, okay? Whatever Greg Roman's doing throwing the football right now is a disaster.
It really is. And I went off on it on the podcast. The shuffle should be up later. I mean, I don't know how John Harbaugh watches this pass offense and think it's good. Like, I don't know how he tolerates it. Like, if they got rid of Martindale last year because their defense wasn't good, which it wasn't last year. I mean, they had so many guys hurt. But this offense is a travesty. I mean, the two receivers – you know, and caught the ball. Robinson had one catch, and DeSean Jackson, who, by the way, we were told during the game to pay attention to him in the final 2-minute drive because he puts the fear in everybody. Like, that was a remember when fear. Like, I don't remember DeSean Jackson putting the fear in me in the last 3 years. I don't know about you, Patrick, but, like, I haven't seen him put the fear in anybody. Mm-mm. And so, like, that was a comedy. So I just think, to me, this pass, I don't know how John Harbaugh tolerates it. Like, how are they going to beat anybody throwing the ball the way they do? And Lou Amoromo is a really good defense coordinator. So next week they go in there. Do you think, how do you play? And let's say this. They weren't throwing the ball with Lamar Jackson when he was playing. So it isn't like Lamar's cure-all.
Yeah, it's a tough offense to watch, and a 16-13 win for the Steelers. The Steelers, by the way, are still alive. They can make the postseason if they beat the Browns. The Dolphins lose to the Jets with their quarterback situation and uncertainty. That's a possibility. And the Patriots lose at the Bills. The Steelers are going to get to the postseason. Think about the turnaround with Tom, again, ad nauseum with the Tomlin praise. But it was on. They came back yesterday. They've come back all season. Impressive job. And Kenny Pickett, who I was completely wrong about, tremendous in a late game drive again.
Yeah, I mean, how about that line? That line's only three. That line's only three right now. There's no chance. Like, take that line's going to four before it's said and done. Like, there's no chance that that's not going to go up. Like, you got to, like, this is why Monday is a really good day to take a number. Like, Pittsburgh's going to, I mean, I know Cleveland won last week, but Cleveland will have a hard time playing Pittsburgh. I mean, at the end of the season there is never good for the Brownies.
And you're talking about Cleveland at Pittsburgh to close out the year. I've got Pittsburgh laying three. You're saying you think that
that's what I have right now.
Yep.
I think it's going to four. I think people are going to start betting Pittsburgh. There's no doubt. It's going to move the number. They need the game. You know, they need the game, so it's going to put everything into it.
Especially with an opportunity to still make the postseason. So, again, week 18 starts to get dicey. We'll discuss it. Just set you up quickly on tonight. We'll come back and discuss Buffalo at Cincinnati. Buffalo, you know, it was one and a half this morning. I see DraftKings just went to two with Buffalo laying it. Circa just went to two with Buffalo laying it. Got an elevated total. Weather's not going to be an issue in Cincy. This is for a week 17 matchup because those two teams still have something to play for. This, Michael, is about as good as it gets tonight.
Yeah, and this going to be I think it's the last team with the ball wins.
Brady is in. Bucks win the division. That's next.
To the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Sponsor of the Lombardi Line is BetMGM, has been for years the king of sports books. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app. If you're in town in Vegas, stop by any MGM casino. Bring your state-issued ID, ready to bet within minutes. Remember, you got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. 10 seconds before we came back, Michael said, biggest shock of the day, Patrick, and I'll answer that with the Eagles. I thought they were listless. I really did. And again, New Orleans is playing better, but Minshew was bad. To be fair, they had everything to play for, the Eagles. They could have rested in 18. They would have had a bye. Now they're going to have to go all out in 18. Dallas can still win that division. To answer your question succinctly, my answer, the Eagles. I thought they laid an egg.
Yeah, I thought this might be the best thing for Philly because now they can't take off week 18. And we love pad level on the show. I thought their pad level was horrible. I thought they weren't very explosive. I mean, how many false starts could they get on one drive? I mean, they looked bad. I didn't think they were playing in sync. And, you know, Minshew wasn't good, but I don't think anybody else was good. Their defense, I mean, they only allowed four incomplete passes the whole day. And so, you know, in a game they had a win, they didn't play very well. And I think they need to get back. I mean, I would have never said to you, in a million years, what I have said, that week 18, the Giants are going to rest and the Eagles are going to play. Like, I thought the Giants would get into the 100% playoffs because the Eagles were going to lay off on week 18. And yet now it's the other way around. We've got Tyrod Taylor. We'll get some guy off the street to play running back. I mean, the Lions at 14 right now. It's probably going to go to 15 soon.
Well, the Giants
are 13.5. It went down.
Yeah, 13.5. And they're locked into the sixth seed regardless. So the Giants literally have nothing to play for.
They're not playing anybody.
No. They're not. And Daboll, he was coy about it, but he's not going to play anybody. Okay, let me give the bullet points from Elliott, then we'll jump into this. So clinched yesterday, the Bucs and the Giants, aforementioned from Michael. The Jets have been eliminated. There's some stuff going on there. We'll get to that. The Commanders have been eliminated. Let Ron Rivera know he doesn't know. The Saints have been eliminated. Unfortunately, the Panthers. Winning, you're in. The Packers beat the Lions. They're in. Titans, Jags for the division in week 18. Still alive. The Dolphins, barely. Patriots win against the Bills. They're in. Steelers, I gave you the scenario. They can still make it. Up for grabs, NFC East, the Eagles and Cowboys. It really is fascinating how that's come down, and I just mentioned the South with the Titans and Jags, and the North, the Bengals and Steelers. So the scenario quickly on this, if the Bengals win tonight, they win the North. If they lose, I'm sorry? Say that again, Elliot? Okay. If the Bengals win tonight, they will, again, win the North. If they lose, that game between Baltimore and Cincy next week, Michael, is going to be for the division. So a lot to do. Go ahead. response to any of
my
that,
question
we'll
is
the Bucks.
Let's go. If Detroit beats Green Bay, are they in?
If Detroit, no. Detroit would need Seattle to lose to the Rams. So follow me. Detroit would have to beat Green Bay. Seattle would have to lose to the Rams. Detroit makes it. All Green Bay has to do is beat Detroit. You follow me?
Got it.
The Seattle Seahawks need Detroit to beat Green Bay, and Seattle needs to beat the Rams for the Seattle Seahawks to make the postseason.
Got it.
And I said 3 weeks ago, Green Bay's playing for nothing. Green Bay's playing for everything. They're playing. They literally control everything as far as making the postseason. So that's where we stand.
No doubt.
Now,
I mean,
go ahead.
No, I just think to me it's they're 4-8 and now they control their destiny. They have to, and they got a home game against Detroit.
Do you consider them dangerous? That's the question.
I don't. I mean, they looked dangerous yesterday, but I don't. I don't consider them dangerous yet. Now, you know, I think obviously they'll get some rhythm back going. Their special teams has vastly improved, especially the return part. They played better defense yesterday than I've seen them play. Although this Minnesota Purple People Eaters here, I mean, I don't know what to make of them. They're not very good. They're lucky. I mean, I don't know if you can be 12-4 and get blown out when you lose. Like, it's either a close game or a blowout with them, right? Or it's a blowout that they come back on like they did against the Colts. But to me, you know, I didn't understand it. Like, to me, how can you play like that if you're the Colts? What I said on my pod, and I think this is true, everybody thinks Kirk Cousins is having this great season. And yet he was better last year. He only threw 7 interceptions last year. He's got 14 already this year. His yards per attempt is below 7. Like, he's not playing nearly as well as he did last year. And so there is a little, even though they have 12 wins, and, you know, when they don't get it all going, running, and I think, I don't know, there was an offensive lineman that got hurt. I don't know how bad he is, Patrick, but I think it's the right tackle, O'Neal. I thought I saw him getting carted off yesterday, but I got to double check on that. And if that's the case, this offensive line will struggle.
Can I give you a number on the Vikings? So they're 12-4, and we've talked about 11-0 in one-score games. They're minus 19 as far as point differential. Okay, that's over there. How about this? The Vikings' 3 losses to the Eagles, the Cowboys, and Packers, Michael, they were outscored 105-27. I'll repeat. Right. Vikings' losses to the Eagles, the Cowboys, and Packers. You're laughing, but think about that. 105-27, completely outclassed, and that was the case yesterday at Lambeau.
It wasn't even close. I mean, I don't think it was close. So I don't know. Let's just play this all the way through, right? If the Giants were 5.5-point dogs when they were in Minnesota 2 weeks ago, they go back there, that line will be under 3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the Giants, two teams perceptively that couldn't be going in opposite directions more, the Vikings and the Giants, and those two could end up meeting each other. Okay, you know who else is going to host a playoff game? And I feel bad for the rest of the country outside of Tampa, the Bucks. And you know this, not just because Matt, your son, Carolina had every single opportunity to win that game. They were up big in that game. The Bucks come back. The connection with Evans and Brady was pretty special yesterday. But this Bucks team, hosting a postseason game, they're sitting 8-8, 30-24 winner over the Panthers yesterday.
Well, you know, to me, you know, and obviously I have a lot vested in this, and I thought Sam Darnold played the best game I've seen him play. And with all that being said, we said on the pod we like the Bucks and take and laying the points because we thought the secondary, because without J.C. Horn and without Jackson, who's already on IR, this secondary was going to struggle. I didn't think it would struggle for 12 targets and 10 catches for Mike Evans over 200 yards. But Brady didn't throw. Every time he targeted a receiver, it wasn't incomplete. Only Julio and the tight end got targeted that didn't catch the ball. Like, the Panthers just could not make a play with their secondary. And the corners, to get beat over the top for 21 points, 3 long touchdowns to Mike Evans, is somewhat inexcusable. It really was a problem. And I think ultimately that was the game because they had everything going for them. They had everything going for them. You know, they were playing well. They weren't running the ball really well, but they were able to make plays in the passing game, and they were able to stay in it. And then Brady just makes that one play, and the next thing you know, it's over.
Well, that was your cap on the show yesterday here on the Lombardi Line as well. You left that cap with saying the cornerback injuries to the Panthers are going to be the difference here, and literally that was the difference. Also, a couple of weird turnovers, the snap to Darnold where it hit him in the chest. It's just kind of a couple of things fortuitously went the Bucs' way, and you know they took advantage of a division that nobody wanted to win.
Yeah, I don't know about you, and I don't say this as a scorned father who lost his son lost a game. I thought Brady was good against a bad secondary, and we know it's hard to get pressure on Brady. Brady was 4-for-15 on third down in the game, right? And if they would have forced him to 20 third downs, they wouldn't win the game. The one play, the one score drive, those long drives kill you because you don't get the team. They were not good on third down. And the fact that Sam Darnold was really effective throwing the ball, to me, I think it doesn't give the Bucs any sense of, I know they were missing Carlton Davis, but still, you can throw the ball on this Bucs team. And if you can throw on them, you know, they're going to have to match you score for score. And other than taking advantage of poor corners in man-to-man, I don't see how they do that against Dallas.
14-0
if they play
lead.
Dallas.
Yeah, no, I agree. 14-0 lead for the Panthers. Blew it. That's tough. We'll see what happens with Wilkes next year. But, you know, I think this is what you wanted as far as the connection with Evans. 10 passes, 207, 3 touchdowns. Godwin, 120 receiving yards on 9 catches. You know, this is a Bucs team at 8-8. They're guaranteed a home game in that wild card round, even if they finish with a losing record. It reminds us of, remember years ago, probably 10 at this point, when Seattle hosted New Orleans with a losing record in division. And actually, that was the Marshawn Lynch game with the Richter scale where they actually beat the Saints. So I don't know if the Bucs, I don't know if you consider them to be a dangerous team going into the postseason. I see them, I look at them, they're old and slow.
I do too. I don't see them, and I don't think Mike Evans, I mean, I know he got behind the Bucs, the Panther defense, but I don't see Mike Evans as an explosive, oh my God, he's going to take the top off the defense.
No.
I think, you know, if J.C. Horn's playing, I think the Panthers win the game by 7. I think that injury really cost them a chance to win the South because J.C. Horn can match up on Mike Evans. He's going to cover him man-to-man, and then everybody else is going to have problems, and they're going to force a lot more third down. They forced 15 third downs in the game.
So you asked me, and this will be a good tease. We'll get to Gable, and then we'll come back with your answer. What was your biggest shock or disappointment of yesterday? I said Eagles. Where would you go?
I would say Eagles. I was really surprised by them.
Gotcha.
Because, again, I assumed they were going to play at a high, high level against the – and I didn't think the Saints would score a lot of points on them, but I didn't think the Saints would shut them down like they did.
If the Giants go to Minnesota, what's the number in the postseason? I just – Bears texting us as well. What's quick? 2.5? 2.5 Minnesota lane?
I said – I thought it's under 3. I think it's under 3.
I think 2.5 as well. I think it closes 2.5. We're back with Gable Borgata next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro subscriber for $79 right now. Get access to everything we do through the Big Dance. This is a great deal. You can sign up right now. You're going to get $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Again, only VSiN Pros. Get access to our daily recaps of the top plays, which you'll get plays for, of course, Monday night tonight. If you become a VSiN Pro, VSiN.com/subscribe, you get the guides as well. Okay, we're back. We're having fun with this. We're going to bring in Thomas Gable, who runs the Race and Sportsbook there at the Borgata. By the way, TG's college basketball picks were a perfect 3-0 yesterday. He's got a play today. Go check it out. Become a VSiN Pro as we say hi to Thomas. So we're having a little round robin. Michael and I were discussing with Felica, if the Giants go to Minnesota in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And Michael, can you just update us on the two injuries with the Vikings before I ask Thomas the question?
So Brian O'Neill and Slotman, they're starting right tackle and center are both, well, the center's had broke his fibula, so he's not going to play. O'Neill has a calf, but I saw them cart him off, so that's not a good thing. And calves are hard for offensive linemen. You got to push off. So they could be two starting offensive linemen down for their playoff game when you come in next week.
Thomas Gable, we say hi. The Giants, the perception right now is high. Minnesota, it's very low. If Minnesota hosts the Giants, do we close under 3? Your thoughts?
Oh, I think without a doubt. I'd be hesitant to put 3 up to start just because I know I would get a lot of Giants money. Probably open 2.5 and You know, offensive line injuries are tricky if you if you're missing key pieces there. So I don't see that going above three.
And remember, also Michael, regionally, so Thomas would get crushed with the Giants if he posted that three number in Jersey, just to be clear.
And I think to me what we're seeing too is like I've said before, is there is so much that people think that this guy's playing really well, you know, in terms of Kirk Cousins, but he really isn't. I mean, he's not having the same year he had last year. Let me just say that.
Thomas?
Well, it seems like Cousins, you know, he still has the ability to lay these stink bombs out, right? I mean, that's literally what happens with them. I mean, when the Vikings lose, I mean, they lose badly. You know, they've been beat up in their losses, and they've won all these close games, so they haven't lost a close game yet. But when they lose, I mean, they lose big.
How'd we do yesterday at the Borgata? The way that you said hi to us, I feel like you had a bad day. Am I right?
No, we did okay. Obviously, the Eagles losing was certainly helpful. Whatever we made on that, we gave back to, with the Giants winning, though. But, yeah, I mean, the Eagles loss, I think, shocked a lot of people for them to lose outright like that. I mean, you saw the number come down. They closed 4.5-point favorites. And I guess Minshew didn't play great. We know that. I think the bigger surprise with Philadelphia was how bad the defense played. I mean, the Saints just seemed to do whatever they wanted, especially in the opening drive. I mean, the Eagles defense, I just didn't think showed up yesterday.
Yeah, I kind of agree, and yet they still held them to 13 points with the interception, right? You know, for the touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't know what A.J. Brown was doing on that route, you know? And so I thought he would get inside of that, and you know, he didn't. And unfortunately, they made a huge mistake. But to me, I thought they didn't play with any physicality early in the game. And that opening drive, which was 8 minutes, they went right down the field. And actually, if Dalton doesn't do Dalton-like things, which is throw an interception in the red zone, you would have thought that they would have been able to add to the lead at halftime.
Yeah, absolutely. That opening drive, I think, surprised a lot of people. To see the Saints do that. And so now you have the Eagles, which everybody thought that they would have had the division wrapped up by this point. Now they have to go out and win next week against the Giants. Now the Giants are in at this point, so they won't be playing anyone. So it's kind of reversed from what we thought we would see a couple weeks ago. We thought Philadelphia would be sitting everybody and the Giants would have to play and get in. Now the Giants are going to be sitting everybody, and the Eagles are the one who have to win this game to lock up the one seed, because obviously the Cowboys are still out there lurking. If somehow the Eagles stub their toe next week, Dallas is still in play yet for the division.
Patrick, you know, were you surprised in the first quarter we heard the Boo Birds come out in Philadelphia?
Well, that city... And Thomas, you could speak to it better than I. I mean, they go from highs. It's like Michael with the 76ers. I got to call my guy out. I mean, these fans turn on the team quicker than any city around, Thomas.
Yeah, but I don't have any highs with the Sixers. Let's put that out there. Like, I am never drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes,
like, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid
fair.
Now. I have in my lifetime. I have drank the Kool-Aid. I'm not drinking. I don't ever go high. I'm always low on those, on that.
Yeah, that's the Dr. J Kool-Aid. And Thomas, you know, because you sat with him on the wood there at the 76ers game. He's not happy.
Yeah, but I think the booze might have been because the Mummers parade got over. Then they wanted. Yeah. I don't know.
Did they lay it? You know, Lombardi was all over Pittsburgh, and I see they closed. Mm-hmm. Baltimore closed one, so I'm guessing they laid it with Pittsburgh there. Excuse me, they took it with Pittsburgh there last night.
They took it with Pittsburgh. We did that game. Actually, ended up okay for us. We had some Baltimore money line. Bigger wagers come in, so that one ended up okay. Just kind of running down the board, Panthers and Bucks, not much of a decision on that one at all, except on the total. I think we lost a little bit on the total on that one. Browns and Commanders was a decent result for us there. Obviously, we already talked about the Eagles, Saints, and the Giants. Cardinals, Falcons, game was pretty much ignored in terms of handle in regards to the other games. Jags took a loss on that, and your Lions there, Patrick.
Thank you.
They were went off 4.5 point favorites. They opened 5.5. So actually, we did pretty well with the Lions covering there, and the Patriots Dolphins game. Again, lost a little bit there. The Dolphins getting the cover there as 3-point dogs.
Oh, we should point out another one, Michael, that you were all over. You like Denver. That should have been one of your official plays because you were talking Denver at Kansas City all week. And they were Kansas City was never covering that game.
No, but it's so you can't trust Kansas City. It's more of a lack of trust of Kansas City. Plus, you know, we saw that urge of the, you know, the coach comes in, they put pads on this week, you know, and they kind of had some accountability. I mean, Russell still makes the mistake to cost him the game, even though he's going to be fixable according to the Broncos. But to me, you know, this is a concern. I mean, the third quarter of the game, Patrick, I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs have a chance to kind of extend the lead. They go 3-and-out 3 times.
Yep. I'm guessing you won with that, Thomas?
We did. Now, let me just say this. The Chiefs, we know, they have not been a very good covering team. Next Saturday, we have the Chiefs at the Raiders. Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites. Does anyone really want to lay that 9.5 there with the Chiefs? Now, you could say, well, the Raiders have nothing to play for. Raiders didn't have anything to play for yesterday, and they took San Francisco to the list. So I would not want to touch the Chiefs next Saturday at all.
I would say this. Yeah, they do, because Stidham's a free agent. If Stidham puts another game together like he did last week, like he did yesterday, he, you know, I'm not saying he's going to get a huge contract, but he's going to get himself some money to make things.
And remember, 9.5, it may have closed 9.5, 10, but that's exactly the same number San Francisco was laying at Vegas. So again, Kansas City laying that exact same price at Vegas, and it was a cover, potentially a win for the Raiders. Okay, tonight, very interesting, maybe the game of the year, if you think about it. Two teams are as hot as you can be, Buffalo, Cincinnati. Where'd you open? Where are you sitting? Where are you going to close?
So you've seen a move here this morning on Buffalo. So a lot of places now 2.5 with Buffalo laying it. We opened Buffalo laying 1, and this is one where I think the public, you're hearing a lot of public support for the Bengals, but the more respected money is coming in here on Buffalo. Bengals have been tremendous ATS, as we know, throughout this year. So everything to play for, though, and this is going to be a phenomenal game. I'm sure the handle is going to be off the charts with this. But you are seeing that line now move towards the Bills. More respected money here coming in on Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, Cincinnati's really playing well. Buffalo, you watch that Bears game, and it was close, and then they kind of put it away. You know, to me, it's just but you talk about a team unpredictable. Buffalo, can Buffalo stop the run? Can they stop Mixon from running the ball tonight? I think that's the question.
How about this for bettors? Cincinnati 12-1 ATS their last 13. Profitable.
Yeah,
that's the Bengals right now, and the Bills have won 6 straight as well. Fascinating game coming up tonight. TG, let's keep it rolling in college hoops as well. He runs the Race and Sportsbook there at the Borgata. He is Thomas Gable, our partner. Thank you, buddy. Have a great week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Coming up next, we have Elliot put together a very spicy step into my office. We got a college coach, and we've got the coach of gangrene. Serious conversations with Michael Lombardi next. Step into my office.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN. Featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM's been running the special all series and all season, pardon me. Just place a single first touchdown score prop on Monday night or Thursday night. Of course, tonight, Monday night, if your bet loses, you're going to receive up to $25 back in free bets. So essentially, it's a free roll. The offer is available all season long. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM. Just log into your account or download the reconfigured BetMGM app and sign up today. Then place a wager on a first touchdown score prop. If it loses, $25 back in free bets. 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available. Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Got to be 21 years or older. Okay, it's that time of the week as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, he is Michael Lombardi. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. This is where we roll out the couch. Michael Lombardi welcomes myriad of peeps into his office, and he has a serious conversation. We're going to start with Jim Harbaugh, lost in the national semis in college football. It looks like some pro teams, including Denver, are going to make a serious push at Jim Harbaugh. He just had another heartbreaking loss as the Wolverine head coach. What would you say to Jim about his future here?
Well, I would say if you're going to embark on the National Football League, it really comes down to your relationship with an owner. You know, if your relationship with the owner is that strong and it's a partnership like Bill Walsh had with Eddie DeBarlo Jr., you know, or Bill Belichick's had with Robert Kraft, then that's time to go, because there's very few great owners in the National Football League. There's a lot of meddling owners. There's a lot of owners that pretend they're not meddling, but they do. But if you want to take a chance at the NFL and you want to get back and you want to build an alignment that you have at Michigan, then you've got to make sure that you sit down with the owner and him only, and you two work it out before you do that. Look, I don't think I need to tell you, Jim, but you beat yourself on Saturday night. I mean, the biggest opponent for you wasn't TCU. It was your mistakes. You know, I know the referee didn't call a touchdown on that pass, but not taking the points, not being able to convert third and short, all those things came into play. And when you do that, and when you don't get a stop on a third and 10 that you need to make and you're blitzing, it all comes back on you. And credit TCU for being able to be resilient. But you really, when you watch that tape, there were way too many times where you could have won the game, but you just didn't make the plays you needed to make, and you beat yourself, essentially. And I think that ultimately cost you the game.
Okay, Jim Harbaugh, you and your khakis get to step in. We've got to welcome in Josh McDaniels, head coach of the Raiders.
We'll play, and when he leaves, can you play the Wreck of the Emmett Fitzgerald as he's going out? Because that's what he would prefer.
And we should talk about the advice at your son's game where he said, I'm taking the San Diego job. We'll get to that in a little bit. Josh McDaniels, look, made the right decision, to be fair. Benching Carr, his status is up in the air with the organization. Stidham was very good. What would you say to Josh?
I would say, Josh, keep the process, right? I think what you gained yesterday without the win was confidence without evidence, right? You're 6-10. There's no evidence that your offense was going to work until it happened yesterday. That what you can now stand in front of the team today and say, fellas, look, we didn't do what we needed to do. There were too many plays we messed up. But when we all work together, when it's we as opposed to me, and everybody does their job, including the quarterback, including the receivers, everybody, we can beat anybody. I mean, we just gained 500 yards on the best defense in all of football. We averaged 7.8 yards per play. Like, our offense can work, but we have to make it work. And I think ultimately we'll clean these things up. We're going to get better players here. We're going to get players that are going to win games in November, December. But to me, this was a giant step forward. It proves to everybody who doubts out there that Josh isn't a good offensive coach or a good head coach. It also really dispels this stupid notion that the players were unhappy with the Carr benching. And the way that they supported the team and have played hard, and I expect them to play hard against Kansas City, is kind of a feather in your cap that you have to build on.
Okay, Josh McDaniels, thank you. In comes Robert Saleh. Interesting relationship with Michael and Robert here. By the way, Robert, you have to look across town and see your boy Brian Daboll. He's eating good and he's coaching good. You, on the other hand, 7-4 start. You just got eliminated and a loss to the Seahawks 23-6. Michael, that really wasn't close.
Yeah, it really wasn't. And I think, Robert, this is now time for you. Year three, you're going to have to decide how you want to become a head coach, right? Look, I criticize a lot of things you do, and they're not criticism, they're coaching. You have to understand the difference between criticism and coaching. Like, I'm not sitting here laughing at you. I'm sitting here saying you need to be better in this area. I'm sitting here saying your game management was atrocious. I'm sitting here saying that your defense, although you think it's elite, that the guy in San Francisco made that defense better because he modified it. He changed it. He still runs what you run, but he's doing a lot more things. And if you want to become a winning NFL coach and you want to keep this job, you're going to have to modify because you couldn't stop anybody. And you talk about turning the ball over. You've had two turnovers since the bye week. Two. You're -9 in the turnover takeaway column. So for me, as much as everybody wants to focus on the offense and the quarterback, which is important, I think you need to kind of modify what you're doing in the kicking game. And for all the conversation about how talented we are as a team and how we have so many great players here, we got to get better in the kicking game. You've got to make an emphasis. And so for me, if you want to keep your job in a year 4 and year 5, I think you have to close the door and decide, I want to be a head coach. I don't want to be friends with the staff. I want to be a partner with the staff, and I want to demand more. And I've got to ask myself some really hard questions. And it starts with asking myself questions on the defensive side of the ball. We can't play three match all game. People figure it out. Look what the Raiders just did to the 49ers, because he's a really good offensive coach, and he knows how to attack that scheme. And even though they can't block up front, they were able to gain 500 yards. We're going to get that. We're going to see that again, so you better fix it. The job you have as a head coach is to visualize what lies distantly in the future. And if you don't fix the defensive scheme in terms of expanding the portfolio, I don't care who you get at quarterback.
Tremendous answer. Thank you, Coach Salah. We know you're cool with the players. Get better as a head coach. Matt LaFleur. Okay, how about this? So after a 4-8 start, Big Daddy Vince is going to be interested in this one as Matt LaFleur steps into Michael Lombardi's office. Green Bay has won 4 straight games. They control their playoff destiny versus Lions. What would you say to LaFleur to kind of keep this going?
Well, I think, look, Matt, not to upset Big Daddy, quit hugging Joe Barry on the sideline after wins. That would make him happy. And I think what we learned yesterday was that Barry changed his defensive strategy. And I think you're also seeing the benefits, Matt, of the special teams, field position. Your return game has really improved. And credit Rich Bisacci, the return, all the things that have come into play. You got to build on that. And also you've got to build on what are your strengths. Bill Walsh had a sticky note attached to his desk in Cincinnati. And it said simply this: what assets do I have that I'm not utilizing? The strength of your team is A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers, and you need to use them to your benefit. You need to rely on them. They need to carry you. When you start to play in big games, and this is a playoff game this weekend, it's not about plays, it's about players. It's not about plays, it's about players. So let's highlight our best players. Let's make sure our best players are in the right position. And I think you have to stop looking at the script and make sure that you do that this week as you game plan against the Detroit team, that if you're going to run the ball, they're going to be a nickel. Whether Elliott plays or not, they're going to be a nickel. And you've got to be willing to run that thing out of them because they're not going to change. But if we play into their trap and throw it at a nickel, it gives them an advantage. So to me, set up the game plan where you get players, not plays.
And to be fair, it's not like they've run the gauntlet, the Packers, in this 4-game win streak. They beat Chicago, they beat the Rams, they beat Miami, and they beat Minnesota. So fortuitous as far as the schedule, but give them credit. They level up at 8-8. May I ask a follow-up on Salah? If he came to you and genuinely said to you, what would you do at quarterback next year? I know it's a broad question with the Jets, but what would your answer to Salah be to talk to Douglas about here?
I would say we need a quarterback. I'd say, look, I don't think that Zach Wilson is not repairable. I don't think he's repairable here. I think he first incomplete, right, he's going to get booed. I don't think he's mentally tough enough to handle it. This is my observation from the outside. I think you gave me a kid who's not mentally tough. You gave me a kid who's talented, but I don't think he's mentally tough to endure. I think we could put away the notion that Mike White's going to be a high-priced free agent, because Mike White can come in and play some games, but Mike White isn't going to be a starter in the league. Just like I don't know if Jarrett Stidham in one game, you could say he's a starter. However, that being said, I think we have to go out and get somebody that matches up with our team, that can lead us, that isn't too young, but is mature enough to kind of supplement. We won't have much cap room. So we got to use this money that we have very, very carefully. And if we do that, we'll have a chance to compete. But we got to fix the defense first.
So the answer at quarterback is Tom Brady for the Jets? Is that what you're telling me?
There's no way Brady's going to go play for Mike LaFleur. I'm just telling you, there's no way. Okay, that's not a knock at Mike LaFleur. There's just no way. They're from different schools. They're from different processes. They're from different platforms. He's already lived that in Tampa. He ain't living that. And if it's his last year or next, there's no way. He's going somewhere where he's really comfortable with the coach. So if Billy O'Brien leaves Alabama and he goes to the Jets, okay, now the Jets would be in play. All right? If the Raiders are in play, if New England could be in play, like anywhere where he feels a comfortability that the program's going to be run in the way that he's been institutionalized, that's how he's going to go.
A Bill O'Brien, Tom Brady, those two being reunited with the Patriots would shake the foundation of the NFL. Think about that.
How about if they got reunited at the Jets? How would that sound, huh?
In division?
That never happened.
You know the one team.
Brady's never putting on. He would never put on green. There's no chance.
Bills, Bengals, next. Lombardi Line.